You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. My name is Timmy Stanford, and as always, I am your host. And today with me, I have Heidi, who's joining us again to talk with us about safe deposit boxes and what you can do with a safe deposit box, what they are, and maybe some, you know, best practices, some stuff maybe you should consider putting in a box, or maybe you should consider not keeping inside a safe deposit box. Heidi, thanks for coming back and talking with us here today. In case people who are watching didn't see the other episode you were in, if you'd go ahead and introduce yourself to the watchers and listeners.
Sure. As Timmy said, I am Heidi Nelson. My title here at the bank is Workplace Experience Coordinator. And in a nutshell, that just means making sure our employees and customers are happy with our experiences here, as well as some project management pieces. And I've been with the bank for 9 years.
Yeah, awesome. And before that, she's worked as personal banker, branch manager, and did quite a bit of procedure writing for our personal bankers. So she's pretty familiar with the different processes that personal bankers do with our different products, including safe deposit boxes. So let's get into it here, talking about safe deposit boxes. So what, in general, is a safe deposit box, Heidi?
Sure. So more or less, a safe deposit box is a little mini vault, and it's found inside a bank. It's typically used to store valuables, documents, basically anything you want to make sure that it is extremely safe, you know exactly where it is when you need it, and something that you don't need all of the time. Mm-hmm. And typically, there's an annual fee, so you pay for it on an annual basis.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so how big is a safe deposit box, or are there sizes, and what kind of options are typically out there?
Sure. So for Citizens in general, we have a couple different sizes. Typically, they're about 2 feet deep, and then there's different sizes. We go as small as 3 inches by 5 inches and all the way up to 10 by 10. And obviously, the smaller it is, the less the fee is, and the larger it is, the larger fee.
Yeah, so to kind of go off again how she was describing the dimensions. So the depth is like how far it slides in. If you've ever seen a safe deposit box, or you know, it's usually like a wall of different boxes that have key access, and so they go about 2 feet deep typically, and then you know the different dimensions on the. I'm motioning, but people listening may not, see what I'm doing. But, you know, the dimensions on the faceplate of it are the, you know, 3 by 5 or 10 by 10 or whatever. So, depending on what you want to keep in there, that might affect the size of box you might want to rent. So as the name implies, it's a safe deposit box. How safe are the safe deposit boxes?
Yes. So safe deposit boxes are locked with keys, and they're kept in a larger vault at your bank. And they are water and fire resistant, not proof, but resistant. So it's at least a bit better than anywhere else you could put it. And since they're found in a bank vault area, they're also usually behind alarms and safe doors. So fairly safe, in my opinion. And then in order to get to your box and access your box, you have to check in with a banker on the line. So they have to make sure that your identity is who you say you are. Mm-hmm. And you also have to come with one of your safe deposit box keys. So you can't get in there unless you have your key and the bank's key.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, safe deposit boxes are dual access.
Yes.
So the bank has a key for the bank side entry, and the customer has a key for their entry. So, the bank can't be going in and entering it without your key. And you can't enter it, obviously, without the banker's help, who is in charge of monitoring the boxes for that day and verifying people's identity to help, prevent if someone were to get a hold of your key, that they couldn't just come in and try to access the contents of your safe deposit box. So if you have a safe deposit box, how do you put items in the box or take them out? What can you do once you get checked in to pull that box out and view it?
Sure. So we have private viewing rooms, and it's strongly encouraged to take your boxes there and view your items and either take them out or put them in your boxes in that viewing room. And the bank should not and really doesn't know anything that's in your boxes. So that's why we encourage the private rooms. And then it's also good to note it's forbidden to use anything hazardous or dangerous like firearms in your boxes.
Yeah, and I mean, different banks will have different agreements, but they're pretty...
They're pretty standard.
Again, yeah. You can't have weapons in there or explosives or you know, and yeah, you can't be hiding hazardous materials and things like that. So are the box contents insured? You know, bank accounts are FDIC insured up to a certain amount of money. Are the contents of a safe deposit box insured?
No. So it's important to know that since the bank doesn't know what's in your box, it's not FDIC insured, but you are more than encouraged to talk to your insurance agent to see if you can insure it a different way.
Yeah, some homeowners insurance policies or maybe some weird umbrella policy type insurance plans can cover your possessions, you know, similar to how the homeowners insurance policies can cover the possessions in your home if there were a fire. You can work out with your agent a policy that could cover contents of a box if it were. You would just need to make sure to have a accurate list or maybe photograph somewhere of like what you have in there that you keep in a safe place so you can prove what was in there for that listing of your insurance on that. So, you know, we kind of have an idea of what a safe deposit box is, the general process for getting into it, you know, maybe the size options you have available. So what kind of things make sense to keep in a safe deposit box? I know you mentioned broadly it's valuable or valuable items or things that are hard to replace that you don't need to access very often.
Right.
And that can change from person to person. But do you have some examples of common items people might want to consider putting in a safe deposit box?
Sure. So birth certificates, marriage certificates, precious family heirlooms, basically really any of those really important items that you might not need every day, but when you need them, you need them.
Yeah.
So just anything like that.
Yeah. So, you know, and depending on your history, if you have like immigration documentation, things like that, that would be hard to replace and you don't need that often, that might be something to consider putting in there as well. Some people consider, you know, old family photos of like generations past that you're not displaying that maybe you want to keep really safe. That could be something to consider as well. You know, some of those, you get into the discussion of like, well, if it's something like that, do you want to display it? That's up to you. You know, you can figure that out.
Right.
But those are some items that people do do put into their, you know, legal documents that are like for if you were purchasing a business or some sort of business agreement that you have that you need to keep safe. That might be something to consider putting in there as well. But you know, not all legal documents should be solely kept in there, and we'll go over some of those here as well. And that leads me into the next question. You know, what kind of items should you maybe not keep in your safe deposit box, and maybe keep somewhere safe within your house or somewhere else?
Some things that I've mentioned to customers is cash.
Yes.
It's not insured, so if something were to happen to it, you're kind of just out of your money if you kept any cash in there. So we strongly encourage not to put that in there.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm sure if you've heard anything about safe deposit box, hopefully you've heard that it's really not smart to put cash in a safe deposit box. You're already in a bank.
Correct.
Put it in the bank.
Right.
It's insured. You know, that's up to $250,000 insurance. You know, if you are worried about keeping it around your house, there are other options of ways to keep your money safe than doing just putting lumps of cash in there.
Correct.
I mean, it's a very unwise thing to do. You know, another thing, you can keep cash. This is something we didn't mention, but you can keep like legal cash equivalents, like savings bonds. Not a bad idea to keep that in a safe deposit box. Or if you have old stock certificates from stocks that were purchased before the internet, that's not a bad thing to keep in a safe deposit box. But cash itself is an unwise thing to keep in a safe deposit box.
Yes. Some other things, so obviously illegal substances, don't put those in there. Another one that I strongly encourage not to put in there is your will.
Yeah.
So you can put a copy in there, but having the actual will, it's probably better to have that at home for your records and everything there for your heirs to find it right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk, when you get a will drafted up, talk to your lawyer and ask them who you should keep it with.
Right.
I mean, typically they'll have a copy. Your heirs should have some sort of copy, or if you're trying to keep it a secret before you pass, that's something to consider as well. But your heirs or the people that are going to be responsible for handling your estate, they need to be able to access your will. And if your only copy of your will or the is in a safe deposit box, they can't access that and they can't start processing your estate.
Right.
And then it becomes a whole issue because a lot of times something like a will or some sort of estate plan will give your heir the access to access a safe deposit box.
Right.
So then you end up into a big, you know, catch-22 where they can't get into your safe deposit box to process through your stuff because they don't have the documentation showing that you're the person that should be able to access that safe deposit box. And so that's just, again, when you get something like a will drafted up and, you know, maybe you are doing something online that's more and more common, it's pretty affordable to do a will on some sort of online legal advice website. But, you know, more still people do it with a lawyer and ask your lawyer where you should put it. Don't put it in your safe deposit box. That is not that is not the place to keep your sole copy of your will.
Correct.
So and again, anything else that you would want immediately accessible to your heirs if you were to pass. So you know, something sometimes people keep the only copy of like life insurance policy type stuff in there too, which you may want life insurance policies in your safe deposit box, but if that is, again, where all of, you don't want to keep all of your documents in there so that your heirs are having trouble finding them and when they should be getting that information early so that they can process all of that and work on claiming a life insurance policy. Again, it's not maybe not a bad idea to keep copies of things like that in a box, but keeping the sole copies of that you have in your possession in the box can be problematic for the people then that have to deal with.
It just causes more hurdles for them.
Yeah, and that's a bummer because things like wills are there to help make it easier.
Correct.
So when you can't access the will, it just makes everything harder.
Right, right.
And then kind of going off the same mindset of you know, maybe what you should or shouldn't keep in the box, are there any best practices for having a safe deposit box or, you know, letting people know about a safe deposit box in case something were to happen? Like, what would you recommend to that?
So off of what we were speaking on originally, so it's really good to make sure that your heirs or whoever is going to be in charge of anything after you pass know that you have a safe deposit box and where that box is located. And if there's anything in that box that you know that they're going to have to access. So that's really good to make sure at least they know about it.
Yeah, even if they don't know the contents, just let them know there is one.
Correct.
Because like, especially if you've moved around or, you know, this happens in Wisconsin sometimes because people have properties up north and, and stuff. If you have a safe deposit box at some bank up way up north Wisconsin and none of your family knows about it, how are they going to get the contents out of it if something happens to you?
Right. And then I know we mentioned earlier that there's an annual fee to our boxes. So just make sure that you pay those on time. If by some chance you don't pay them, then it goes into kind of like a limbo. Eventually, the bank is going to have to take those contents out. If we can't get a hold of you and you haven't paid your annual fee, then you kind of lose the right to the box. So we want to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and it's not immediate. It's not like, you know, your annual fee was due in June and now it's July, so you lose all your contents.
It's a few years.
It's years, it's, you know, the bank has to give you and wants to give you plenty of time to pay up the dues and pay it current so that you can keep access to the box or at least pay it current and close out your access to that box so that you can take your stuff out of there. You know, it's similar, you know, it's not a similar process, but it's the same thing as something like a foreclosure or a repossession.
Right.
You know, the bank doesn't want to do those things.
No.
That's usually just the last resort of, well, it's been a long, long time. We can't get a hold of them. We can't get, you know, so now we have to do something about it. And unfortunately, if it gets to the point where you haven't paid your dues in a long time and the bank can't get a hold of you to figure out some sort of payment method or payback period, you're going to lose the contents then too. The bank will take possession of those contents and you just won't get them back, unfortunately. And that's largely typically due to a lack of responsiveness. So, I mean, there's no way to get in contact with the customer to get that paid up, which is very unfortunate. And the nice thing is, you know, with safe deposit box payments, you can set up auto pay for those types of things, which is, you know, just helps it so you don't have to,
out of sight, out of mind.
And it's, they aren't horribly expensive.
No.
I mean, the fees do change from time to time as, you know, inflation occurs and stuff like that, but they aren't, you know, it's not like it's thousands of dollars a month. It's usually, you know, double digits to maybe a bit over 100 if you have a bigger box.
Yeah.
But and for an annual fee, it's not like you're paying thousands of dollars a year for it. Do you have, besides that, do you have any other closing thoughts on safe deposit boxes and maybe, I don't know, maybe who should consider them or where to start if you're thinking about that?
Sure. I mean, I am a parent, so you get more documents when you have children. So it's good to have a box, in my opinion. If you're not really sure whether or not you should have one, definitely talk to a banker. Anyone on our front line would be able to help you with that. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that. Or just everyone has something they want to keep and hold dear. So mm-hmm. it's a good idea to at least consider it.
Yeah. And my general advice is, you know, start with a small fireproof safe or like mm-hmm. fireproof box. You can get those really cheap. Well, I mean,
respectively,
not really cheap, but you know, not horribly expensive, especially if you get a smaller one. If you just have a few documents when you're younger, but yes, as you get older, once you start to outgrow that box, or you find you're never really accessing it,
sure.
maybe then you should consider something like a safe deposit box to keep it offsite, out of your house. Or like you said, as you get kids, maybe mm-hmm. it's stuff you don't necessarily want in the house
right.
if they're getting into stuff a lot.
Renters, would it be a good one?
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah, if you're renting and you don't necessarily want them in your apartment. But also, if you are the type of person who has a family who passes down a lot of valuables, mm-hmm. maybe then consider it as well. And again, especially consider extra insurance on those items as well. With that, we thank you, Heidi, for coming back in and talking
Timmy.
With us and talking about the exciting world of safe deposit boxes. and if you ever have questions, you want to look into safe deposit boxes, ask your teller or personal banker. They'll be more than happy to give you some pricing on those and give you an idea of what that might look like to have a safe deposit box. But with that, we thank you for watching and listening. If you have any questions, feel free to email me directly at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's HEYTIMMY@amindformoney.com. And we hope you have a great rest of your day.